Wolf, and Luke.
We could create a whole world in the mind of the listener simply by using sound effects.
Ron Wolfley. Luke Lipinski.
Huh.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, welcome in on this Wednesday. Midday?
Here it is.
Morning, afternoon.
Yes, Wednesday indeed, Luke, right now. A big game plan day, as we all know, in the National Football League. A massive game plan day offensively and defensively. A hard practice, or shall I say harder than most. It's all relative, is it not?
What I hear you saying is party time is over. Party was yesterday, Tuesday was yesterday, and now it's Wednesday and it's on to Minnesota.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. We're on to Minnesota right now, and fortunately, it's not going to be a long trip to Minnesota because it's actually going to be played right here in Phoenix. State Farm, Glendale to be precise, ladies and gentlemen, State Farm Stadium. Here we go. The Arizona Cardinals hosting the Minnesota Vikings, and if they lose this game, I am going to be forlorn. That's all I will tell you right now. I am going to be down in a hole. Somebody cue the Alice in Chains. I'm going down in the hole. I will be in that hole. It'll be deep. It'll be dark somehow, some way. I'll climb back out, but it's going to stink for about a week.
I don't see a loss this week, but we're going to talk about
so
it. We'll talk about that. I know. It feels weird saying
Luke.
It, but it, I just don't. Whatever. We'll get into it. I will tell you this before we get into our first topic here.
Yes.
Wolf, two players that I respected and were two of my favorite, I guess, for lack of a better term, NFL players. I feel like I'm going to learn a lot about them this weekend.
Okay.
They have. My appreciation of them is shifting. Let's put it that way.
All right, good. This is good. A state of flux.
Yes.
There's some type of energy here. There's some type of movement here. It's not static. There's something going on inside your brain.
And a lot apparently is going to be I'm looking for answers on Sunday and Monday.
Okay.
The players are Patrick Peterson.
Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, Patrick Peterson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
What's with the Aaron Rodgers thing once again?
Now? I was always a big Aaron Rodgers fan,
right?
And I did think it was dumb of the Packers to draft Jordan Love. I thought it was just very like short-sighted and not realizing who your quarterback is. But man, this whole offseason and then the way he played on Sunday,
yeah.
And if he goes out there and can't play better against the Lions on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
You know what he's going to say though. Relax.
That's
what he's
going to
say.
We'll see.
I think he's already said that, as a matter of fact, after that debacle of week one. He didn't say relax, but in not so many words, he basically came up with a definition of relax. He just said, hey, listen, you know what? So this is something we can learn from. That's what he was talking about. And you know what? I think at some point in time, that team might be in trouble if, in fact, Aaron Rodgers has got any type of thorn in the side. They might be in trouble.
Yeah, they could be in a lot of trouble. We'll get into that because that obviously impacts the Cardinals as well. If you get into a wild card race, you would expect Green Bay to be a playoff contender after they were making
Indeed.
Continuous deep runs into the NFC playoffs each year, but we'll see. We're going to start, though, Wolf. With a couple awards, a couple weekly awards in the NFL.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, so if I just was like off the top of your head, who do you think would win, let's say, Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC?
Okay, Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC. I'm definitely going Chandler Jones.
Five sacks, a couple strip sacks.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. He won.
Okay.
How about Offensive Player of the Week? Seems pretty clear, right?
Not so clear, I would say. Not so clear on the offensive side, but I would say that Kyler Murray had to be the front runner right there.
Yeah, no, he didn't win.
He did not win. Okay, is that a thorn in your side?
It just makes me wonder what's going on, and I can't help but think that it's they didn't want two players from the same team winning player of the week in the first week of the season. Otherwise, Matthew Stafford won, and I get that he had a good game and everything, but Kyler Murray had a dominant game, and he's won this award before. But you have to look at that and be like, well, if he's not going to win it this week, is he ever going to win it again?
Yeah. I think even Matthew Stafford might have been surprised that he won the offensive player of the week. That's just a guess, but when you think of Kyler Murray in the game that Kyler Murray played, I realize he threw an interception. I realize he only had a quarterback rating of 121. It wasn't 158.1. Okay, it wasn't as high, obviously, as Matthew Stafford, who almost played a perfect game. But they threw for the same amount of yardage, and Matthew Stafford threw for 3 touchdowns, no picks, of course. And I just thought Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals, on the road, beating a playoff caliber, dare I say an AFC championship type team, a team that a lot of people thought would play in that championship game, the AFC championship game, probably against the Kansas City Chiefs, but a lot of people thought that the Titans were poised to make a run deep into the postseason, and they got beat down by the Arizona Cardinals in all 3 phases. It wasn't like this was some lucky win on the road. This was a complete domination of the Tennessee Titans, and, you know, I thought maybe that would matter to some of these people that vote on this stuff.
You know, at the end of the day, you just want the wins, and you want to see the progress.
Absolutely.
From Kyler Murray. I get that. Like, player of the week doesn't do anything for your record. It just seems odd with the performance that Kyler Murray put together. This is Michael Irvin on Monday talking about what he saw out of Kyler.
When we first started watching Kyler Murray, I said, well, look at his feet. You know, you watch his feet because he's so quick. I mean, he's like Lamar Jackson in that sense where he can give you fits with his feet. But, man, then he's turning around throwing the ball. Like he's throwing the ball, he's giving you the combination of Lamar Jackson and then Patrick Mahomes, which is a dangerous combination. And then he has, of course, DeAndre Hopkins out there that can catch anything you throw anywhere in the area code. He's answering that call.
This is something that I've talked about in the past, and I've done it for the last couple of years for the most part. When you compare Kyler Murray to other quarterbacks in the National Football League, those are the two guys that I think of, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's as good a thrower as Pat Mahomes, and I don't think he's as good a runner as Lamar Jackson. But oh my goodness, he's both. You combine those two guys. Those are the two guys you're comparing him to? That speaks to a special player, a whole different species, if you will, a whole different animal. When you talk about Kyler Murray, yeah, he might not be the running back that Lamar Jackson is, and he might not be the pure passer that Patrick Mahomes is, but man, he's both combined. That makes him something different.
Wouldn't you almost rather have that? Like, okay, let's be clear. If you're telling me I can have any quarterback, I want Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I don't even know that that's very debatable right now. I mean, Tom Brady all the time,
fine,
whatever.
Much more mobile than people give him credit.
Yeah. But if you're telling me I can have Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, I think I'd rather have Kyler Murray.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I think you're right on that. I'd rather have Kyler Murray. I wonder how long Lamar Jackson is going to be able to hold up as he continues to run the ball. It's one of the reasons why the Baltimore Ravens have moved him under center a little bit more already this year than what they have done in the past. They're doing that to try to extend his playing years for them, I would imagine, and yet, that's one of those deals where, man, we've seen it happen over and over and over again, where a quarterback that came into the league, Michael Vick, came into the league, and everyone wanted to say, you have to learn to throw the ball first. You have to learn to throw the ball first. You have to learn to do that first, or you're not going to last. And ultimately, Michael Vick may have unraveled his own career, but he never became the pure passer that he needed to become for him to be successful on the field, and that cost him.
It's funny that we're talking about Murray and Jackson. I'm just looking at the list ESPN put out today, and it's Mike Tannenbaum's current quarterback rankings. So Patrick Mahomes is number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson is 11th. Kyler's 12th.
Okay.
And that is behind the likes of Ryan Tannehill, who I didn't see do much. Matt Ryan, who I thought retired with the way he played against the Eagles. I thought he was going to retire at halftime.
Okay.
I mean, some of these other names.
You thought he was going to retire. Okay, yeah. You're being a little facetious.
A little
right
facetious.
There. Okay.
Yeah, they have Kyler Murray just slightly ahead of Derek Carr.
What is this?
This is Mike Tannenbaum's current quarterback. They make sure to put the word current in there, too, so we don't think this is from, like, 2018. Rankings are updated through week 1 of the 2021 season.
Okay. There you go, right there.
And I think it's the Mike Tannenbaum that was the GM. It's not like Mike Tannenbaum who does taxes in Columbus, exactly. Ohio.
You know what I'd say to Kyler Murray on that right now? First of all, don't read Mike Tannenbaum. That's number one. And you might want to put on Soundgarden's Blow Up the Outside World. Okay, metaphorically speaking, of course, always metaphorically. But Blow Up the Outside World. You might want to do that. And I think, honestly, that needs to be the song. That needs to be the song. I'm going to do a What Will Wolf Watch. That's going to be the song right there. Blow Up the Outside World, of course. And the reason being is because that's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals need to do collectively as a team, and it's what each player individually needs to do.
I just like the idea of you telling Kyler Murray what music to listen to and then him driving home listening to it.
Of course, how cool would that be right there, Kyler? I know maybe he's not into Soundgarden. I mean, that would be a little...
Maybe he hasn't heard Soundgarden.
Probably a good chance. Well, yeah, probably a good chance he's not into it right now, but being the young Kronk brother that he is, but... Honestly, for me, that's the key to the entire Cardinals week, Luke. Blow up the outside world.
Well, that week includes Patrick Peterson coming back to State Farm Stadium. So when we come back, what are our expectations for Pat Pete's return to Glendale? That's next. Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
There you go. We the
boys. J.J. is J.J. He's obviously a proven NFL guy.
J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, like I said, two of the best defensive players to really ever play in the NFL.
I think the fit is fantastic.
You know, the stories about him are pretty legendary.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
Really know how Minnesota's going to handle J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones at the same time. We can get to that later on in the show, but Wolf, obviously the main storyline here locally has to be the return of Patrick Peterson to State Farm Stadium. It's even last week felt weird seeing him play in another uniform. Now, I get he didn't look like Patrick Peterson in a Cardinals uniform the last two seasons, but even last week seeing him play against the Bengals was strange, and now in week two, he not only plays against the Cardinals, he does it here.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It is going to be quite the homecoming, right? Patrick Peterson, you wonder what kind of response the Red Sea will give Pat P. I would imagine being the class act that they are, people are going to stand and they're going to cheer for Pat P that first time. Now, I'm not saying the Red Sea wants to see Patrick Peterson roll into State Farm Stadium and come up with three picks and take one back, a pick six or something like that. Suddenly the Minnesota Vikings win. I don't think they're going to be doing that.
No.
But I do think they will greet him warmly, and after that, let the chips fall where they may.
I think they will greet him. I don't know if it'll be warmly
really?
Or not.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, do you not look at Pat P and think this is a great player?
I do. And when he's retired and we're 5 years from now, I'm going to look at him as one of the best Cardinals of all time, because he is. And once we have some distance from the last 2 years, I mean, you have to remember that up until the last couple years, he was not only a great player, but he was a really good leader on this team. But the last couple years, there was the like, you better trade me. Okay, I'm sticking around, but now I have a PED suspension. Okay, and now I'm not going to play well. I mean, I think for a lot of people, not like he chose to not play well, but he just wasn't the same guy. And he set the bar so high the first, 8 years of his career. I think a lot of Cardinals fans are just like, I don't want to see him go play good for somebody else after he just wasn't good for us. I think on some level it's that level.
But
that
he was
level.
Good. He was good for the Arizona Cardinals for a long time.
He was.
This guy is going to be a Hall of Fame player.
Yes.
He's going to be a Hall of Fame player.
You'll have to convince me. Yeah, I'm telling you what I think his reception's going to be. I agree. Some Cardinals fans will stand up and give him a nice warm reception.
Okay.
But there are more than some Cardinals fans at that game on Sunday.
You know what? Honestly, you have a better, I don't know, you've got a better feel, I think, for the Red Sea. I think you have a better feel for the fans that are out there. I do not. I've always got a player's mentality. I'm always going to have a player's mentality, no matter how fat my cheeks get, no matter how full I become. For me, I can tell you right now that I'm always going to have that kind of mentality, and it always separates me and gives me a different opinion, a different point of view, I think, than a lot of people. And it's something I don't apologize for.
I do believe when
and never
he
will.
Eventually comes back and is not as a player, but when he's eventually, you know, gets the honors of being one of the best Cardinals of all time in a few years, he's going to get a very nice reception. And I don't think he's going to get like, I don't think people hate Patrick Peterson. I just think the combination of how the last 2 years went and the fact that he wasn't as good the last couple years, I do think at the most basic level, it's like, well, if you weren't good for us, you better not come in here and play good against us.
Right.
Also, he's probably not going to play well against them on Sunday. This is not a great matchup for him.
Oh, my goodness, man. You just talk about the entire Minnesota Vikings team right now. This team defensively, they have to be looking at the Arizona Cardinals and what the Cardinals did against the Tennessee Titans last week and be going, oh, my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. Not only are they going to run multiple personnel groups out there, not only are they possibly going to move DeAndre Hopkins around, not only are they going to spread the ball out there, but they're also going to put James Conner in there and Chase Edmonds. They're going to line him up at 6-7 yards, and they're going to run in between the tackles. Interesting.
This is Patrick Peterson on his All Things Covered podcast talking about the likelihood he will have to match up with DeAndre Hopkins.
D-Hop is a very, very talented receiver. He obviously don't drop many balls at all.
No.
He's going to catch it. You know, a great, great 50-50 ball type guy. You know, if the ball's in the air with the 50-50 opportunity, it's a good chance that he's going to come down with it. Sometimes when you have a guy like that, you just have to be on your P's and Q's for 60 minutes because, at any given time, anything can happen.
This is great, honestly. I love hearing this from Pat P. Because typically, Patrick Peterson, from time to time, Luke, he would make statements that he was seeing something that I just did not see. He was seeing something that others that are in the industry, of course, just was not seeing. And a lot of times it had to do with how he was playing. And there was a difference of opinion on how he was playing a lot of the time. What Patrick Peterson believed in how he was playing and what other people believed how he was playing. There was a difference of opinion on that from time to time. And it's interesting to hear Pat P take a measured approach to what's coming up on Sunday.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't go into this game thinking I'm going to get torched by DeAndre Hopkins, but I'm sure he goes into this game thinking I better be at the very top of my game or this could get ugly. And he's in a weird spot because it's not like the defense around him is that great in Minnesota. So I don't know how much help he's really going to get. And also, he holds himself accountable to a certain extent by having a weekly podcast. Whatever happens in this game on Sunday, he's going to have to talk about on his own podcast next week. That's an awkward spot to be in.
A little bit.
Right?
a little bit. You know, you just don't know. Hey, what up, B-Mac? I don't know.
Maybe we'll do like a cooking podcast next week.
Maybe you're just going to gloss over that thing. And, you know, once again, it's what I'm talking about. Pat P sometimes sees things a little bit differently than everyone else. You know I'm a Pat P fan. I absolutely love the dude. Love the player. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I believe that at some point in time. Ring of Honor member as well at some point in time.
He better be.
Down the road, absolutely. So I don't root against Patrick Peterson. I want to see a great battle between DeAndre Hopkins and Pat P. I want to see if the Minnesota Vikings actually have him ghost DeAndre Hopkins, which means follow him wherever he goes. That, to me, is going to be very, very interesting if Mike Zimmer's going to say, you know what, Patrick, you're going to follow DeAndre Hopkins wherever he goes.
Yeah, I want to be clear here, too. Like, nobody can cover DeAndre Hopkins right now. This is not, it's not going to be a knock on Patrick Peterson necessarily, but you know Cardinals fans, even if they give him a nice reception, want to see DeAndre Hopkins or A.J. Green or whoever it is. Just torch Patrick
Peterson. Okay, do you have the cut of Patrick Peterson saying, you know what, I really don't know what's going to happen? Because that, to me, was the most telling cut of all.
I have how he feels returning to State Farm Stadium.
You know, Mac, I really don't know. But honestly, at this moment and at this time,
yep,
the regular game.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, he said, I have no idea, Mac. I really, really don't. Like, it's going to be all new to me, so I really don't know what to expect. For the most part, I'm treating this like a regular game. I don't want to get too high, don't want to get too low.
I got one more. Maybe this is also what you're looking for. He asked him how he feels like he'll be received when he gets here on Sunday.
No, I have no idea, Matt. I really, really don't. Like, it's going to be all new to me, you know what I mean? So I really don't know what to expect. You know, so for the most part, I'm treating this like a regular game. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too low. I want to treat this literally.
No question. Don't get too high. Exactly. Yeah. Don't get too high, because sometimes we get too high, kind of takes the focus off the what you need to do.
Like a regular game, have a great week of preparation. Go to Arizona just like we was going to Cincinnati.
You know he's going to be motivated, though, too.
Here's the one thing I want to say quickly about Patrick Peterson. Every time Pat P's focus and concentration was at an intense level, he's played well.
Mm-hmm.
When it isn't, it's kind of not so much. So to me, I expect him to come in and compete and play well. Just don't know if he's going to be good enough. Because D-Hop, it's real.
Well, and that's a position where your mistakes are going to get highlighted more than anything else. Like if you gave me the options of he's going to go out there and he's going to really just blanket DeAndre Hopkins and Hop's going to have a really just a forgettable game, or the other option is Peterson just gets torched but maybe even has an interception, I would definitely take option B.
Yeah.
I mean, Hopkins is going to get his catches.
Yeah.
There's not anybody you could put on him right now where he's not going to get his catches.
Jalen Ramsey.
Maybe.
And DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, D-Hop, they battle.
And we'll see them in a couple weeks. All right, text us your thoughts on the Patrick Peterson return to State Farm Stadium to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, if the Cardinals made the top five in this week's NFL Power Poll, we'll tell you next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who is the best in the NFL? Wolf and Luke's NFL Power Poll. Brought to you by IBEW Local 640, the best electricians in the world.
Oh, I love it. It's power pole time. Everybody loves the power pole, right? Well, it's that
please
time
don't
of the
get
week.
Me started right now. You love it. Yes, I know that, Luke. You love it. I can't stand it.
I love the conversation that it spurs. How's that? Although that's, I guess, a little presumptuous because we haven't had the conversation yet.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's all right.
So maybe I don't love the conversation.
You were going to call your shot, and then you decided, wait a minute, maybe I won't.
Maybe I should hedge like Patrick Peterson going into this matchup with the Viking Cardinals.
That was solid.
All right, so this works. It's not the most complicated thing in the world. We're going to count up from five. We each have our top five NFL teams. Interpret it however you want. If you're just going based off week one, if you're working in some of your expectations for these teams and realizing it's a 17-week season, not a one-week season, however you want to do it, Wolf. I don't know your list. You don't know mine. But I will tell you this. It was difficult this week.
Really?
Yes.
That's because you had some very, very good teams lose.
Yeah.
Did you not?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do you do with a team that already has lost after 1 week in the NFL?
I can tell you, I dropped my number five out of the list. But it wasn't just because they lost. It's because they don't have any players left, Baltimore. Well,
what do you say we fire this thing off right here? Right,
here
where's
go.
The number five?
Number five.
All right, you want to go first or second?
Yeah, you know what? I'll go second.
Okay. Number five, I'll go with San Francisco. and I hate it.
You're conflicted.
I absolutely hate it. I want to be wrong. Part of me doesn't believe it. I think you could take any team from the NFC West and put them there.
Yep.
But I have San Francisco fifth.
Okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to go the Cleveland Browns at number five. The Cleveland Browns at number five. Yes, I understand they're 0-1. I get that. But playing the Kansas City Chiefs and losing 33-29 to the Kansas City Chiefs, that is no shame right there on the Cleveland Browns. I believe by the end of the year, the Cleveland Browns are going to be the winner of the AFC North. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to make some noise in the AFC. Number five, the Cleveland Browns.
That's a good pick. I had them tied for six, but we only do five.
Number four.
All right, number four, I had to drop them one spot, but I still have them in my top five, even though they lost the Buffalo Bills. If they lose again, then I'm going to have a conversation with Lorenzo Alexander next time he's in here for them making me look dumb on the power pole. But I still think Buffalo's a top five team.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, for me, they're number six, as a matter of fact. On the outside, looking in, don't talk about the Seattle Seahawks. They're not in the top five. Not yet. The Buffalo Bills, on the outside, looking in, number four. Give me the number four, Luke. Just fire that thing
off. You
want
the four again?
Give me the four.
Here we go.
Number four.
All right, Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers, man, what they did once again, the 49ers winning in week one and Jimmy G actually playing well, For me, the 49ers defense is what makes them so special. Yeah, I'm going the San Francisco 49ers number four.
This is ridiculous. I'm over here with all this guilt that I have them at number five, and you let me just sweat that out, and then you have them at number four.
Well, once again, consider the fact that I don't put a lot of stock into power polls.
Number three.
All right, number three. I still think this is the team to beat in the NFC West. I have the LA Rams. They did nothing to dissuade that opinion on Sunday night, handling the Chicago Bears. And they are the team that scares me the most. For me, Wolf, there's the Rams, and then the Cardinals, Niners, Seahawks are all right there.
Yeah, I'm going to go number three as well, the Rams. That's not going to be a surprise to anybody. Listen, I really appreciate the pro that Matthew Stafford is, but it's the defense, it's the defense, it's the defense. You give me a punter and a defense, and I'll be in every game. Now all of a sudden you have Matthew Stafford, and you have some of the talent the Rams have offensively. Man, they're going to win a lot of games because of that defense.
This is where you and I are similar. Like, when I'm looking at teams to be in the top five, it does start with the defense. And then you have a hungry Matthew Stafford who has Cooper Kupp and all these other weapons, and it's like, all right, the defense probably isn't going to give up more than 17 points most weeks anyway with Aaron Donald and those other guys. All right, here we go. Number two.
Number two.
I'm going to stick with this. I had them second last week. I will keep the Buccaneers at number two.
Why?
Well, okay, I can't give that guy a giveaway number one if I say that.
Okay. Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's
not
why.
Not number two, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course.
I will say this. Tampa Bay, if Antonio Brown is back to being Antonio Brown, as we heard he was throughout camp and as he looked on Thursday night against Dallas, that's a Super Bowl champion that just got better. But they struggled with Dallas. I guess Kansas City struggled with Cleveland as well.
Number one.
Numero uno.
Unbelievable.
Still going with the Chiefs. You watch that play, that comeback that they had against the Browns. There's that one throw to Tyreek Hill where Mahomes like almost purposely underthrows it. And I just feel so bad for that guy in the secondary for Cleveland who's got 40 yards open field, he's off balance, and he's got to tackle Tyreek Hill, and he doesn't.
Okay, number one, give me the number one, just for emphasis right here. I'm going to feel this. I'm going to feel it when I say it.
Number one.
Numero uno.
Unbelievable! The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Exhibit A, Tom Brady, Exhibit B, B.A., Exhibit C, Jason Light. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one.
I am nervous with that offense. Do you think we're going to see a repeat of the same Super Bowl matchup, Tampa Bay and Kansas City? Because it does feel like those two teams, to me, I told you this pre-show, to me, after week one, it feels like Kansas City, Tampa Bay, in whatever order, and then the NFC West, and then 26 other teams.
It's a long, long year. I do not think right now saying the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to meet again in the Super Bowl. I'll believe that when I see it.
It never happens. So I tend to believe it's not going to happen as well. But those two teams just seem to be on a different tier. How close did you have Arizona to the top five, by the way?
I had them in the top 10, yeah. Number nine, as a matter of fact.
I had Cleveland and Arizona tied at six. Do we allow ties?
Ooh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's your power.
I should have had a three-way
tie
for fifth.
You could do whatever you wanted to.
I should have a five-way tie for first. All right, that was the power poll. See, it wasn't that bad. I thought that was outstanding.
Well, I know you're over there thinking this is your precious. You're thinking, oh, you're Gollum, you're Schmeagol, thinking, man, I get a power poll, my precious.
Wednesday at 10:30.
And you know, honestly, best moment of the week. I could care less.
I would make a Lord of the Rings reference for you, but I can't. Is there anybody that doesn't care about the ring?
I said it exactly the way we Buffalonians say it. I could care less. People say, I couldn't care less. No, we say it up there in Buffalo. I could care less. Deal with it.
You could care less what people think about
exactly.
That? Exactly. All right. I'm starting to understand. Coming up, who will be the Cardinals' best offensive weapon behind DeAndre Hopkins this season? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is AJ Green, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
AJ admits that. He's in a place now here where he's feeling it again.
Yep, three-step slant. Nice catch.
Definitely going to be crazy, and a lot of people don't think AJ doesn't have it anymore, but he definitely does. He's fast. He can get in and out of his routes.
He's been really impressive.
I expect AJ to have a big year. You know, I'm glad he's on the team.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
I'm not sure there's a wrong answer to this question, but ESPN posed it earlier in the week. Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for NFL Nation, and they're just kind of going through all the games, what we learned from week one, each of the games, right? They get to Cardinals-Titans, and he has one of the things is that this Cardinals defense is legit. Okay, I don't disagree with that. The second question is, who will be the Cardinals' best offensive weapon after DeAndre Hopkins? So take the quarterback out for a second.
Right.
And take DeAndre Hopkins out. In crunch time, who does this team turn to over the course of the next 16 weeks?
Is Chase Edmonds, is he healthy? That's what I want to know. Is he healthy, Chase
sure.
Edmonds?
Okay.
If
yeah.
you tell me Chase Edmonds is going to be healthy, he's the first guy I think of because his ability to catch the ball, his ability to run the ball, go back and look at him, over 100 yards combined last week.
He was good.
Chase Edmonds.
He was quietly really good.
Very, very good, right? You tell me that Chase Edmonds stays healthy, and I'll tell you that he is indeed a weapon for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, having said that, Christian Kirk is also another guy you've got to consider. But before I go into Christian Kirk, who do you think?
I was going to go with Chase Edmonds, and you just stole my thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly, Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, so here, real quick on Christian Kirk. I know you're going to go deeper into him, but Pro Football Focus graded out all the receivers as they do, and they graded out everybody. Christian Kirk across the NFL was number three for week one. He had an 85.9 rating.
Okay, the grade thing, once again, I have disdain for the grades coming from Pro Football Focus. Who is this guy, by the way? Is this you, Luke, sitting there with a clicker? Oh, okay, well, give him a negative. I mean, honestly, I'm just being
could
serious.
Be.
I don't know who these people are.
For all we know, it's Christian Kirk, and he gave himself a really high grade. I don't know. I can't find an answer behind the curtain.
The players in the NFL, by the way, you should know this. They have complete disdain, absolute disdain, for Pro Football Focus because of the grade system. Pro Football Focus, to me, I understand what they're trying to do. They're ballparking it for the most part, but that ought to go away. They have so many other things they do, and they present information they present that I love.
Especially the offensive linemen. They don't love it. I'm supposed to let that guy run past me because I'm doing something else.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
So Kirk was number three, Debo Samuel was two, and Tyreek Hill was one. I'm going to go Chase Edmonds because right now, I don't know who the number two receiving option is between Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, and Rondale Moore.
Mm.
And Chase is your lead back, and he's also a receiving weapon. He had four catches this week, too. So I think he's maybe not the most dangerous. I think Rondale Moore is probably more dangerous.
Yeah.
But I just think he's the guy that I can lean on.
Go back and look at 2020. Go back and look at Christian Kirk and what he did in the first six games of 2020.
Okay.
It is truly mind-numbing when you think of how he finished the last 10 games. How he finished, of course, six games, he had 402 yards receiving and six touchdowns. 402 yards. I'm talking about in six games. That is getting it done, as we like to say. Christian Kirk, go back to the first half of the season. And when the Arizona Cardinals offensively were clicking the way they were clicking, Christian Kirk was on fire and right in the middle of it. Something happened. By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
It was very weird.
Whatever that was, I don't know. But Christian Kirk, what he did in the first half compared to the second half, something was up.
No touchdowns after November 8th, to your point.
None. Think about that. Six touchdowns.
Wow.
Six touchdowns, man, and none after that.
And the year before, three touchdowns all in one game against Tampa Bay. So there's a stretch where, you know, he has those games. That game against Tampa Bay, November 10th, 2019, I remember where I was for that game. He had 10 targets, six catches, 138 yards, three touchdowns.
Yes.
No touchdowns before, no touchdowns after all season, and he played pretty much every game that season.
Yeah, Christian Kirk has got that kind of ability. I continue to say this, Basinonians, nobody has told me this, Luke. Nobody's told me this, but I continue to say man, it was weird that suddenly you had this offense and this offense was chugging along. And then we all know how predictable it seemed to get in the second half of the season. And the change at the end of the season was at the wide receiver coach. That was the change, the wide receiver coach. And now they brought in Sean Jefferson. Sean Jefferson, from what I've been able to glean, based on not only talking to Sean Jefferson, but talking to some players over there in regard to Sean Jefferson, oh my goodness, the level of respect that they have for him cannot be measured with human hands. Why? Because he played the game. Because he played in the league. I think at some point in time, I'm not saying, Luke, there's not great coaches out there that didn't play in the league. There are. They're loaded in the NFL. But 10 years down the road, I think it's going to be a prerequisite that you did play. Because I don't think otherwise players will listen to you.
So this is my last. I've only got like 10 years if I'm going to get in there and coach. And take my Pro Football Focus grades.
I did not see that coming right there. Yeah, right. Yeah, get out your pocket protector and your Pro Football Focus grades and have at it.
Christian Kirk was on with us earlier this week, and we asked him why we should believe his productivity won't wane this year.
I think it was a combination of things, but I just kind of to focus on things that I can control. And, you know, it's hard with football, you know, just because, especially at the wide receiver position, there's a lot of variables, you know, that go into, you know, getting targets or getting catches, getting touchdowns.
Yep.
And so, for me, it's just, I just focus on what I can control. And, you know, that's my mindset this year, you know, whether I get 2 targets, 1 target, 1 target, 10 targets, you know, my focus is on, making all of them that come my way and doing the most that I can with them.
You liked his answer in the moment, didn't you?
I did, as a matter of fact. I like the fact that he took what I think is a high road. Again, I don't know anything that went on between David Wright, the old wide receiver coach for the Arizona Cardinals, and Christian Kirk. I have no idea. I have no idea. Nobody even whispered that to me. But just watching how precipitous he dropped off, something had to happen to Christian Kirk. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's personal, whatever it is, but I like the fact Christian Kirk, for the most part, he took the high road right there. Well done.
This is a big season for Christian Kirk. He's not signed past this year. You're talking about a guy that was a second-round pick that has shown flashes that I don't think anybody would look at Christian Kirk and be like, oh, he's no good. He's been good.
Oh, he's good.
But you just feel like there is more there.
Yes.
And maybe it's there this year. Maybe the receiving coach, maybe that change, maybe that helps. Maybe Christian Kirk, just another year in the league, maybe that helps. Maybe, like you said, it was something we can't comprehend. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, he's sure off to a great start with 2 touchdowns in the first game of the season.
Right. It's kind of like Six Flags. Have you ever been to Six Flags?
I've driven past it.
You know what, honestly, Six Flags, you kind of think, man, you know what, this is, you leave Six Flags wanting more, okay? That's Christian Kirk in his career so far. It's a lot of fun, it's great, but man, you're missing something. You want a little bit more. It's not like Disneyland. Disneyland just totally over-delivers in every way, shape, and form.
Disneyland is DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, that's exactly right, Luke. Well done.
I'm running out of amusement parks to compare other Cardinals receivers to, but is Christian Kirk, is that's your pick then for the most dangerous weapon, or what was the actual wording?
It would be the best
weapon.
Honestly, I'm sorry, it'd have to be Chase Edmonds. Ah. The reason why I say Chase Edmonds, yeah, exactly, you thought you were going to be genius going with Chase Edmonds right there, but it's because he can run and catch the ball. I mean, this is a guy that is going to be an X factor offensively for the Arizona Cardinals, and I expect if he stays healthy, big things. And the only question I have with him not staying healthy, have you ever watched him play? You watch Chase Edmonds play. He's going to take his face and stick it right on you, and I love that and respect that from him.
I should have known you were going to go with him. One more. This is from Cliff Kingsbury on Christian Kirk and trying to keep him more involved over the course of the full season.
Yeah, definitely. I put that on me for not getting him the ball enough because he's a dynamic playmaker. And I think having AJ here has allowed him to play more in the slot, where I think he can really accentuate, you know, his strengths and do what he does best. And so hopefully we can keep that going. But he's had a tremendous career since he's come in the NFL. And I just expect him to continue to get better.
You know, we saw it on Sunday. If Kyler Murray just decides he wants to get him more involved, he yeah. just will. We saw it on that touchdown.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Christian Kirk, 5 targets, 5 receptions. There's a chemistry that is building like it did last season, but even more so, a chemistry that is building, I think, between Christian Kirk and Kyler Murray. If you listen to these two men talk about each other, the respect, the mutual respect and trust that is there, ooh, that is something good. Grow strong.
Coming up, all signs point to the Cardinals being 2-0 after this weekend. So what does that do to their psyche? 2-time Super Bowl champion Max Starks will join us for Maximum Football next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.